Welcome, everybody, to the Sleeper Wire Show. Professor Chris and Sven back with you this week. Sven, how's it going, man?
It's going good. I'm excited to our topic tonight. It's a good one. It's a good one, but I'm excited. Super Bowl week.
I like how you're just like, it's going good.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Well, I want to also welcome a special guest, Michael Liu, to the show. You can find him on Twitter at MikeMeUp with two P's and on YouTube at Bunkbed Breakdowns. How's it going, Mike?
It's going good, man. Ready to get this show started. I mean, it's the best part of the dynasty season, in my opinion, because you can kind of just talk about whatever you want. Content producers can produce whatever they want. So this is like free reign time. So it's the best time of the year.
Yeah, just really any topic is any topic. You wait until after the NFL draft. All you're talking about is rookies.
Yep.
Well, so we are certainly in dynasty season now with tons of dynasty startups either happening or about to happen, you know, well before the free agent deadline, well before the NFL draft. People are already doing this. And one of the most common questions that people have when they're in a dynasty startup this early is, how should I value free agent X? And we're going to talk about some of the big name free agents, their current ranking, and whether they should be higher or lower. What do we believe? But before we get into that, couple pieces of news here. It is Super Bowl week, Chiefs versus Bucks in Tampa. It's the first Super Bowl where the host city is also the home stadium of one of the teams. So, Mike, prediction, who wins and the final score? What do you think?
I think it's going to be the Chiefs winning, although the smart money is probably on the Bucks, because I think the betting odds are like, I think 90% of the money's on the Chiefs right now.
Really?
Yeah. Like 90% at like a, what is it, 3.5 spread right now? So smart money's going to put it on Bucks.
Sven, what do you think?
I don't want to say it, but I think Tom wins his seventh. I really don't like, but it's Tom Brady. He can't beat the NFC East, right? And this isn't the NFC East, so we'll see what happens. But I think the Bucks take it.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, but I am a self-proclaimed Brady hater, so I can't pick the Bucks. I can't pick Tom Brady. I want the Chiefs to win anyway. You know, you got to love Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, at least for fantasy anyway. You got to love these guys. I think they are going to win by at least 10.
Wow. Tom Brady's never been blown out in a in a Super Bowl.
You know what? At least 20. I'm going to at least 20. Let's do that.
I would love to see those prop bets.
Yeah, I would love that. Huge news of the week. You guys have probably all heard this by now. The Detroit Lions traded Matthew Stafford to the Los Angeles Rams for Jared Goff. Two future first round picks, because the Rams hate having first round picks, and a third. How does this affect Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift? Mike, I'm going to kick this one to you first.
I think, you know, for Swift's purposes, I was already a big fan of Swift. I mean, Stafford doesn't really dump off, so not much volume there for Swift, I would say, before. But I think, you know, with Goff, I think he's probably going to rely on Swift a lot. I mean, they have, like, no weapons, right? I mean, do they re-sign Kenny Golladay? Their number one wide receiver right now is like Quintez Cephas, and I know like dynasty players love him, but I wouldn't feel too great if that was my top wide receiver going from Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Like Swift value really doesn't change much for me, to be honest with you. Like, you know, the Lions probably a worse off team with Goff than they are with Stafford, so maybe TD upside is down a bit, but maybe it makes up for that on the receiving side. I think for Cam Akers, it's like the exact opposite, right? It's, you know, now he has probably more TD upside because I think Stafford is definitely a boost to the offense. But the concern with Akers that I've always had is, like, we haven't seen him, like, really get too involved in the passing game, like the, you know, the receiving game yet. So we'll see what happens with Stafford there. But I did see a chart that got put out today, and it was like, I don't know if you guys saw it. I think it was by, like, Ethan, one of the analytics guys. It's like a heat map to show, like, where Stafford is more accurate than Goff, and it was basically the entire field with the exception of, like, a little bit of the middle part. And, you know, Stafford's, like, really accurate in like, the flats and stuff. So, you know, that is obviously a zone for running backs historically. We just got to see if, like, you know, McVay actually dials back the plays that he had for Gurley, like, prime Gurley 2018. 2018, where they would like dial up a ton of screens for like and a really athletic running back, which is exactly what Cam Akers is. So I'm interested to see how the offense changes with Stafford at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument that the receivers either get a bump up or a way bump down, but I honestly, after I thought about this, I think both running backs get an upgrade because you have DeAndre Swift, who is great in the passing game. He just didn't get utilized. Whereas Goff, you mentioned with Todd Gurley, he dumped it off to Gurley all the time. I think Swift gets a little bit of a bump up due to the passing work. And, you know, Cam Akers has a better quarterback now. So that's going to open up the running game by being able to pass it a little bit better. I think both of them, you know, both at least the running backs, got a big boost, maybe not a big boost, got a boost in value. Sven, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think that Swift, Dan Campbell, first time head coach, they're definitely going to want to protect their investment. Is like he's going to get involved. So I think that Jared Goff is going to his value could stay the same from what it was, but I think that it could get a boost. I mean, they're probably going to be losing a lot of games, so could help in the you know, garbage points. And Cam Akers, I think that Cam Akers definitely takes a little bit step forward because I think they do try to, they used him. He was getting 20 plus carries and he was performing well. And Stafford, he's on the wrong side of 32. I feel like he still has some mileage left, but I think that they're going to try to use Cam Akers more in the running. But like you said, that like Mike said, that he's very accurate in the flats. So Cam Akers, they could use him in the passing game more. So I think that Cam Akers gets a little bit more of a boost than DeAndre Swift.
I mean, Stafford's got a good 3 to 5 years left, right?
Depends how long his back holds up.
Right. I mean, he plays through a lot too.
Yeah, he's an Iron Man. I mean, you know, we think about him as being pretty fragile, but if you look at his career, like aside from his rookie and like the first 2 years, he's like played through injury and like never missed a game until last season, obviously. But you know, I've said this before, but I think like, you know, if things break the Lions way, and hopefully it doesn't, because we don't want players to get hurt. But if like Stafford gets injured, Lions are going to have like back to back picks in the top 10 for like 2 years running, which would be pretty sweet.
You mean if Goff gets injured?
No, I mean if Stafford gets injured, because they have the Rams picks.
Because they got the Rams picks. Yeah. They could just go ham.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, speaking of quarterback trades, Deshaun Watson officially requested a trade. And, you know, I think we can agree that the Lions came out ahead in the Stafford trade, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think it was a great trade for them. And, you know, I think it was a pretty really risky bet for less need. But, you know, quarterback's the most important position. So if it works out, then it works out. I mean, it could definitely work out for both teams. But I think it was a great trade for the Lions.
Well, do you think that a young quarterback, 2 firsts and a third round pick would be enough for a team to land Deshaun Watson? No. Or is it going to take a lot more?
No, not. Because, like, I mean, the Rams, when they made the trade, similar to how everyone makes trades their first in Dynasty, if they think they're a contender. So if you view those as like even mid to late first, it's probably not even close to enough for Deshaun Watson. And, you know, Goff is young, but he's just an average guy. So, you know, I think, you know, the only teams that really have a great shot are actually like still in the AFC, right? It's Miami and the Jets, because it's going to cost like a real young QB, like a Tua plus like a top pick plus another top pick plus something else. A
couple mid rounds or something.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, it was surprising to see what the Lions got for Stafford. So everyone, I mean, what is Watson going to do? Like 4 first-round picks. And
I bet Houston is absolutely loving what the Lions paid to or what the Rams paid to get Stafford, because Houston knows they're going to get a haul for Watson now.
That is the hope. But like you said, the Jets, Jacksonville is a team that is in place to do that. Why they would, I don't think they're not going to, but yeah. That's another team that has everything. Like, we have the picks. We have space.
If Miami, like Miami should. Miami is a team that can do it and probably still add a couple pieces through free agency and be like a contending team. I think they're probably the best position. If Jets do it, I don't know if like there's enough on the team to actually do anything.
They have so many more holes to fill.
Yeah. But like Miami's kind of like, you know, they had a nice defense. You know, they got a passable like running back, and they just got to add a couple wide receivers, pick up a Will Fuller in free agency, pick up, you know, an Allen Robinson in free agency, and then just they'll be ready to go.
Trade for Deshaun Watson and then sign Will Fuller. It won't be Jacksonville, because there's no way the Texans are going to trade him in division.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying as far as teams that have the ammunition to, you know, to actually go for Watson, like Jacksonville is probably one of the top choices, but they're not going to do it.
No, nope, not at all. Well, before we move into talking about Dynasty free agents, we are still running the contest for the signed Chris Godwin or signed Kenny Golladay jersey. Once we get to 100 patrons at patreon.com/sleeperwire, we are going to randomly pick one person, announce them on the show, and then they will get their choice of the jersey. And even that $1 tier gets you in. So check out patreon.com/sleeperwire and get into the contest. You know what? Even if you don't want to join that $1 tier, we still have free articles that go up all the time on our Patreon. You don't even have to pay for those. So check it out, patreon.com/sleeperwire. As mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to talk about notable free agents, their current ranking, and whether or not that's a realistic spot, given that we don't know what team they're going to be on next season. We're going to be talking about this in the context of PPR Superflex rankings, and these are the rankings that are on Fantasy Pros. And PPR, because every league is PPR, and Superflex, because, guys, doesn't it seem like every single new dynasty is now a Superflex league?
Every single one. Hey, you want to join my Superflex dynasty?
Yep.
Yeah, really? I mean, as it should be. One QB is pretty vanilla.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Tight end premium is exploding, too.
Yeah, I mean, you just want to find leagues that have like different variations of scoring, and like, because it creates different strategy in the draft, right? Because otherwise, you know, sooner or later, Superflex will get there too, where it's like, just, you know, the first three rounds are basically a given. Right now, it's still a lot of variance, but like once you introduce new scoring, like it makes it more interesting.
Yeah, well, tight end premium is getting to the point where when people are describing their league, like on Sleeper and the threads and everything, like, hey, this is a trade in this league I got. It's a super flex, no tight end premium. Like they've started putting no tight end premium in there.
That's good.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah, that's for sure. But so, like I said, PPR super flex rankings on Fantasy Pros. And these were as of Monday night that I found these. And you know, really, a lot of these free agents, we can maybe already tell where they are going to be, in particular the first one that we're going to talk about. But a lot of them, we have no clue. Are they going to go back to the same team? Are they going to be somewhere new? Where should they be valued in Dynasty startups based on their current ranking? And the first one, Dak Prescott, is currently going 14th overall off the board. He's the sixth quarterback being taken. Is that too early or too late? I feel like sixth quarterback for Dak seems a little bit low given how good he actually has been. But then again, you have the recency bias of he's just coming off the injury. I should say, sorry, the fifth quarterback off the board, but coming off the off an injury. So, Mike, what do you think?
I have him a bit lower than this, but I don't. Like, I personally don't really deal with, like, ranks that much. I mostly think about it in terms of tiers. So I just have him in, like, the second tier of quarterbacks with, like, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and, like, Kyler Murray and Josh Allen. So, you know, the reason why I have him a bit lower, though, is because I don't know how he's going to come back from the injury. Like, I've seen, like, NBA players and other athletes, like, get that injury and it takes him a while to come back. So I don't know how ready he'll be. And then, you know, you never know what Jerry World does, the clown show over there in the Dallas Cowboys. So it's all like question marks. So, you know, I'm going to go with, like, a safer guy who, you know, may not be as good as Dak Prescott, but value-wise will hold a little bit better. But I mean, he's elite, right? You know, we know he's elite when he's playing, at least as a fantasy asset. He's a very good quarterback in the league as well. So he should absolutely be like within your top eight, I would say, at a minimum.
So you have him in there with Justin Herbert, you said, in that same tier. So it comes to you on the clock. Which guy would you take?
I'm just going to take Justin Herbert because it's less risky for now. Like I said, I just don't know if he's going to start the season the right way. How rehab is going and how he'll be. So, you know, I'm going to take Justin Herbert over him. I'll take Lamar Jackson over him. I'm obviously taking Deshaun Watson over him. I'll take Kyler over him. And then I might even take Trevor Lawrence over him just because I think the value is a little bit more secure until we see him back on the field again.
Russell Wilson?
No, I would take Dak over Russ.
Now, I think I'm pretty confident Dak's going to be back in Dallas. What do you think?
I'm a Cowboys fan, and I wouldn't be surprised if he is. Yeah, sadly. From New York, but I live near Dallas now. So yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Are they going to franchise tag him? That's the biggest thing. Like it's he deserves to be paid. Clearly, mm-hmm. He performs very well. He went from 10th fantasy 2 years ago to number two last year. And I mean, Lamar had he was in his own category. So Dak absolutely dominated. He is a very good quarterback. I think wherever he goes, this ranking, I would take him as a sixth quarterback off the board. If you're, because Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, like these guys, obviously those are your top dudes. And then you're Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson. I would maybe take him. I would probably take him over Lamar and Kyler. I know that sounds a little crazy, but if he's healthy and he's actually back, like Mike was saying, you know, this injury could be tough, but he is a young, sprightly guy. So hopefully that he's got that in his favor. But will he be wearing a star? I'm not going to be surprised. If he says he's going to take his chances in free agency, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, because it's Jerry Jones. It starts from the top, man. Jerry Jones. That's the Al Davis effect, bro.
What do you think, Mike? Dak Prescott, Cowboy next year? Yes or no?
I think the odds are he will be a Cowboy. But like Sven said, like nothing's really out of the question with when it comes to Jerry World, right? I mean, you went out like signed as running back and an off-ball linebacker, like probably two of the least impactful positions in football over his quarterback, and they've just like mishandled that situation. Like until Deshaun Watson, the Dak Prescott quarterback is one of the worst handled quarterback situations I've ever seen in my life.
And they proved that you don't need, like, Tony Pollard was a very serviceable running back. Like he was doing quite well without Zeke. So why did you pay Zeke? That's a good point, Mike.
No one will know. No one knows.
Jerry Jones knows.
let's get Dak to Indy, baby.
Ooh.
That's just wishful thinking.
That would.
Well, so let's go ahead and move on. We've got a couple wide receivers that I want to bring up at the same time next. They're going basically, you know, really, really close to each other. Chris Godwin is ranked as the wide receiver 10, and then Allen Robinson is the wide receiver 13. I lean more towards I would take Allen Robinson over Chris Godwin because I believe he is not only matchup proof, but team proof. I'm not so sure about Chris Godwin. So I think Allen Robinson should be ranked a little bit higher. Mike, where you at on that?
I love Godwin. I think he'll go wherever he goes. He'll be great. I think he's a fantastic wide receiver. I think most people had him. A lot of people had him as like the wide receiver one overall coming into the year ahead of like, you know, MT and stuff after the season he put up last year. And I'm a big fan of Chris Godwin. Like you said, though, the question mark is like, hey, can he handle like that true alpha role? Because he's never had to do it because he had Mike Evans on the other side of the ball. So that's like a question mark and always a question mark for any wide receiver that kind of starts off their career in the slot and then like, you know, works the transition more outside. So that there's definitely a concern there. And Allen Robinson has definitely shown that he is matchup proof. I mean, the guy's been catching. Nobody's caught balls from a string of worst quarterbacks than Allen Robinson his entire career, right? So we know that for sure. But I think the age difference matters. So, you know, I would take Chris Godwin because I think it just gives me more flexibility on my teams. Whereas Allen Robinson, you really have to be a contender to get Allen Robinson because his value is not going to go up anymore. Even if he continues to perform because, like, you know, Dynasty, people just hate old wide receivers. And he's not even that old, but they hate wide receivers anywhere approaching that age 28 season. So, you know, I love Allen Robinson. I have him, like, pretty much on so many rosters, like, because I've been drafting him, like, year after year when he goes, like, way too late. But I think, you know, if I had to pick between the two, like, heads up, I would choose Chris Godwin.
So you mentioned Chris Godwin not having to deal with that alpha role. And I feel like the team that a lot of people always default to is when it comes to situations is the Jets. You know, you put Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson, either one of them on the Jets, who's going to perform better for fantasy? I think Allen Robinson's going to be better on the Jets than Chris Godwin would be. What about you?
Yeah, I think Allen Robinson right now is a better receiver than Chris Godwin, but I'm trying to play values here. So I don't think there'll be that big of a difference. Like, I think Chris Godwin is a really, really good receiver, even on the Jets. Because, like, I mean, Adam Gase is gone now. They're going to bring in whoever they want at quarterback, whether that's, you know, Justin Fields, whether that's Zach Wilson. Like, I don't care, bring in someone, anyone other than Sam Darnold. So I would just play that value. Because at the end of the day, like, wide receivers, man, like, the point differential is just not meaningful enough for me to really care about it. So I care more about, like, value and how value holds and preserves over time. So I think I could probably, like, 1 year from now, like, maybe Allen Robinson scores, like, 1 point per game or, like, you know, 1.5 points per game more than Chris Godwin. But even if he does that, like, Chris Godwin's value is going to hold a lot better than his.
Because of the younger age.
Yeah, because he's younger and, you know, people will always go back to like that monster season he had last year, and he showed the right progressions. And even if he struggles a bit, people will be like, well, it's a new team, let's give him time. So there's a lot of reasons that people can use to kind of like prop up his value a lot more than Allen Robinson.
So speaking of value, Sven, the next guy we have on our list is Kenny Golladay going at the wide receiver 18. So Kenny Golladay, free agent, fantastic wide receiver. I mean, you're going to have a hard time finding, you know, that many wide receivers that are more talented than Kenny Golladay. But in terms of value, who provides the better value so far between Chris Godwin as the wide receiver 10, Robinson at 13, or Golladay at 18?
Value. I mean, if Golladay gets in a good situation, if he signs with a team where he could be, or maybe even the number two, I'm trying to think of another team. Like, what about Washington? Like, if Washington signed Kenny Golladay with Terry McLaurin, I mean, I think it's solid. It's solid value. He's what, Babytron? Is that what they were calling him?
Yeah.
Ever saw? At some point, he's got to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. If he can stay healthy, he's exciting to watch. He's one of the best in the league.
Right. So, well, I think we can say that about a lot of, you know, a lot of these players. It depends on where they go, but that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about they haven't gone anywhere. Are they worth where they're, you know, being ranked right now, not knowing where they're going to be?
I think that's right. I think that could be right for Kenny Golladay. I wouldn't like, because once he lands, then I think it could go up. Like it's going to escalate a little bit.
What about you, Mike? Where are you at on Kenny Golladay?
That seems honestly high based on what I've seen, like wide receiver 18. Like the other thing is, like, you know, you don't know with these like ADPs this early in the season, especially from like Fantasy Pros, which is mostly like a more like a redraft thing. I mean, if you look, I looked at the DLF the other day, I think Kenny Golladay was like wide receiver 28, so probably a pretty big gap. But I think, you know, he'll be a good value. He's a good wide receiver. You gotta, like, with him though, it's kind of like I want to know like who's throwing the ball, because, you know, he was a perfect match for Stafford. Matt Stafford is one of the league's best YOLO ball throwers, you know, after like Aaron Rodgers and stuff, because the guy just doesn't give a shit about anything. So he'll chuck it down there, right? But if you put Golladay on a team with like a Drew Brees, right, I'm no longer interested. If you put Golladay on a team with like Derek Carr, I'm not that interested, right? So talent does carry over, but I think, you know, fit definitely matters here. And I think Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin, frankly, are both a lot more versatile than Kenny Golladay. And Kenny Golladay is also, like, he was an old prospect. He came in the league, was already pretty old. I think he's like 27 now, going on 28. So just another one of those guys that is going to hit that like value age cliff. And those are always risky bets to make, especially if they're changing teams.
It's crazy to think about, but Kenny Golladay and Allen Robinson are the same age. Yeah, Sven, I saw your face.
That's crazy. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, they're both 27 right now. Well, let's talk about some running backs here. So Aaron Jones, he's the big name free agent as of right now. He's currently ranked as the RB8. And honestly, if you look at the, you know, I posted the link to the Fantasy Pros rankings for Superflex and everything. If you sort it by running back, you can see some of the guys going behind him. I would take Zeke over Aaron Jones. I know we just, you know, Mike, you just talked about how the running back, maybe for an NFL team, is one of the least important ways to spend big money, if maybe we want to put it that way. But I would take Zeke over Aaron Jones. I think I would take Josh Jacobs over Aaron Jones, Dobbins over Aaron Jones. And I'm not saying that as an Aaron Jones hater. I just think he's ranked a little bit too high. But where do you see him in that realm of Zeke, Dobbins, Swift, Jacobs?
Yeah, I think, you know, Aaron Jones, like, is I love Aaron Jones. I've been an Aaron Jones stan, like, since, you know, his first year in the league. So, but now I'm at a point where, like, I tend to avoid investing too heavily in running backs during this time that are like that have risks to them, because like they're like the most I guess I'll call it volatile price at this time, right? Because nothing craters values like draft and free agency landing spots for running backs, and like honestly there is no better spot for Aaron Jones than Green Bay Packers. So if he doesn't sign with the Green Bay Packers, in my eyes his value goes down. The only spot that like comes close in my opinion is San Francisco 49ers, because I think he's a really good fit for Kyle Shanahan. You know, Aaron Jones is like a one cut and go type guy, and I think Shanahan could like really use an asset like that with his running scheme. So I think that's an interesting spot. But other than that, you know, he's a little bit on the older side, and you're just like, it's very unclear to me what is going to happen. I think RB8's like too high. Like, I value young running backs a lot more. So I would take like Swift, Dobbins, Akers, like all these guys, I would take over Aaron Jones 1-1. But you don't have to do that. You can probably trade Aaron Jones for a little bit on top because of how good he is. But I would just like, it's a risk mitigating factor, and they might not outproduce him again this year, but you know, I'd rather have a 21-year-old running back than a 25-year-old.
So you're kind of thinking, based on what Aaron Jones has done in the past, trade him now for some value.
Yeah, I would trade Aaron Jones. I always trade like looking for offers for like these types of running backs to either get like other younger running backs or like young wide receiver talent during this time of the year, because like wide receivers, quarterbacks and stuff, and good quarterbacks, not shitty ones, like their values are a lot more insulated than running backs. So at this point of the year, like I'm not really going for the running backs unless like I'm a really big contending team and I think there's a lot of upside. But I don't think there's that much more upside to Aaron Jones, right? Because he's, you know, he went out, produced this year, and I don't think he's going to really climb up to the top five anytime soon.
What about Aaron Jones or Antonio Gibson?
I would take Antonio Gibson.
Yeah. Okay. Sven, where are you at there?
Yeah, I would go Gibson on that one.
All right.
He's on the team. Aaron Jones, he's a free agent. So
the next running back, we've got Chris Carson, who is currently 67th overall off the board, but he's ranked as the RB22. And I know this is Dynasty and he has had some, you know, injury issues. And I should have looked this up. How old? He's only 26 years old, so he's not, you know, up there yet. But RB22 seems a little bit low to me. Sven, where are you at on Chris Carson?
I like Chris Carson. He's still young. I really think Seattle needs to re-sign him and actually use the running game, which Pete Carroll, they tried to stress the past, what, few years. And then now he's coming out and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to run the ball. But I don't know. I think could be a similar situation, and you guys can disagree with me. Like, but with Mike said about Aaron Jones, like he needs to re-sign with the Green Bay Packers. Like, I think Chris Carson could – he's done well. He's performed well in Seattle. Like, he's had 2,000-yard seasons. He's got a pretty solid yards per carry, and he can handle a workload. So I think that Seattle needs to re-sign him. And if he's fallen, if he's at that spot, I'm okay with it. I like it. I think it has decent. It's good value.
Chris Carson or Joe Mixon?
Chris Carson.
Mike, what are you thinking there?
Joe Mixon.
Yeah, yeah. I lean Mixon as well. I mean, he has not lived up really to his draft capital any season.
Yep.
But at the same time, he's 2 years younger. He doesn't have the injury history that Carson does. Great in the passing game. I lean towards Mixon as well. Kenyon Drake, the RB24, so only a couple spots after Chris Carson. I will say I would much rather have Chris Carson than Kenyon Drake. I think Drake goes back to the Cardinals this year. I think they need it, maybe not need, but it would be good for them to have that stability at the running back position. Is he worth being ranked higher than that as of right now, Mike, when we don't know where he's going to be?
No, I think, I mean, Carson and Drake are both way too high. I think
way too high.
Yeah. Like all these running backs we're talking about, and no, not to spoil your next guy, but James Conner, like all these guys in the RB 22, 24, 28 range is all way too high. In my opinion, I think especially where they're going in the draft, like I'm just going to fade that entire zone for running backs. That's usually where I hit wide receivers. And like I said, I don't take on this type of risk on like older aging running backs. Like if I had to take a risk, I would take Aaron Jones, because like wherever Aaron Jones goes outside of maybe like two or three spots, he's going to be the guy and he's going to basically crater the value of whoever is there versus the other way around. But like these other guys, like I'm not sure, they could land somewhere, they could not get picked up, and you know, they're just not, I don't really see too many spots that are better. Like Kenyon Drake, you know, he was my boy. Like I love Kenyon Drake, but you know, coming into last year, like, you know, he had all the work, and then it just turned out that it wasn't good enough because he didn't get used in the passing game. And then like Kyler Murray was basically vulturing a bunch of stuff. And then Chris Carson, like, can't stay healthy like ever. So I'm not going to bet on him to be healthy going forward. So yeah, I think this is like a zone where it's just running backs that I just don't touch. I never touch them in drafts.
So we're in the, you know, obviously we're in the realm of dynasty startups as of right now. Let me talk about some of the guys ranked behind him. Let's play a this guy or this guy. So let's keep in mind we've got Carson, Drake, and as you mentioned, Connor, who's the RB28. I'm going to list some guys who are below them. Would you rather have them? So we have Carson, Drake, Connor. What about Devin Singletary?
No, that guy stinks. So
Leonard Fournette?
No.
No.
You would take Carson, Drake, and Connor over him?
I would take Leonard Fournette over Connor for sure. I might even take Leonard Fournette over Drake, but I just wouldn't take any of them. Like, tell me the wide receivers in that range.
Right.
We're just talking about running backs right now.
Yeah, but I'm saying in a startup, I would never draft these guys. Like, unless they fall into like a double digit rounds. Like, if they're on the board, I don't care how much value there is. I'm never drafting them.
Okay. Hate these guys. There we go. Got it. What about Le'Veon Bell? He's the RB 42. Too low? Too high?
Zero interest.
Zero yes. interest.
Same.
I think that's fair. It's a shame to say. I think that's fair, though. We have one tight end on the list, Hunter Henry, the most notable tight end. The other one was Jonnu Smith, who is just to me. Hunter Henry ranked as the tight end 8. Now, of course, you can always make the argument, well, it depends on where he goes. But Hunter Henry is super talented. And when he's on the field, he's been great. Right now, as a free agent, we look at some of the guys who are, you know, Dallas Goedert is ranked ahead of him. So is Noah Fant. But some of the guys behind him, Mike Gesicki, Evan Engram, Robert Tonyan, Irv Smith. I think I would take Gesicki over Henry. What about you?
I'm not a big Mike Gesicki fan. So I think, honestly, like with tight ends in Dynasty, like I don't really like going this like carousel of like trying to hit the jackpot with a late round tight end. Like every year I usually just pay up. I'm like, hey, you know, Kelsey, Kittle, Waller, and then I'll like swing on like a young guy who I really, really like. Someone like TJ Hawkinson last year. That was like my only dart. The only tight end I ever drafted in the round was TJ Hawkinson. Yeah, tight end is like a weird, it's like a weird position, right? Because if you're not like the top three, it honestly doesn't even matter. Like Gesicki was a top 10 tight end. That didn't matter. Added like zero to your win column doing what he did. So yeah, I'd much rather like pay up a little bit more, right? And get like a Goddard, get like a Hawkinson, like a Fant, than to really like mess around with some of these like later round guys.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I have a hard time paying up to get Kelsey, Kittle, and Waller, but if you do it in a dynasty, I mean, you're set at that position. Let's move back to wide receivers here. Will Fuller. So we did talk about him a little bit earlier in the context of if the Dolphins trade for Deshaun Watson and then they sign Will Fuller, well, they've got that connection back there again. Wide receiver 35, which, you know, if he'd stayed healthy for his whole career, then I think this would be too low. But he's only 26. He's going into his 27-year-old season. Still huge upside for Will Fuller. Uber talented. Is being ranked as wide receiver 35 sort of a product of injury, or why does it seem like it's so low?
It seems low because it's dope. I mean, there's dope wide receivers, man. The wide receiver runs deep, and it's why you don't have to go wide receiver that early, because you can get guys like Will Fuller as a wide receiver 3. You can get guys like Robert Woods as your wide receiver like 2, cheap. Like, the wide receiver is just deep. I mean, I rank my wide receivers out, and, you know, it seems disrespectful. It's like, oh, my God, it's wide receiver 30-something. It's a wide receiver 3. But when you look at all the guys ahead of him and where he's going, like, I think that 30, late 20 to 30 range is like a big freaking bucket of like the same guys you could swap out for one another and think it's a fair ranking. And you know, you just don't know where he's going to go. So it's like just always a question mark, but I like Will Fuller, but like, you know, here, like Will Fuller, he's wide receiver 35, right? He's going 87 overall. He's going behind Kenyon Drake, behind Chris Carson, close to like James Conner. I would take him over all those guys like easily. So if you can like take a Chris Carson and flip him for a Will Fuller plus a piece, like that's a money move. Like these are, you know, talent follows wide receivers. And yeah, granted, he hasn't been healthy his whole career, but it doesn't matter, because when he's healthy, you put him in your starting lineup, and when he's injured, you take him out. So I only care about points per game. I don't really care that much about people finishing full seasons.
Now, when it comes to your strategies, you've mentioned several times about flip the running back. Mm-hmm. Are you one of those, like, you know, you try to trade your stud running backs for the future, for picks or for younger running backs? Like, would you trade Christian McCaffrey?
Christian McCaffrey is the one running back that I don't really trade if I'm a contending team, because I think the advantage he gives you is too big, and I don't care how long he lasts, but if it's 2-3 years, like that's my best shot at a championship. Outside of him and maybe Barkley, because I'm buying Barkley right now, yeah, I'm always open to trade. Like, I have Dalvin Cook in a lot of leagues, so I'll probably look into move him to see if I can trade down, get younger, and get another asset. So yeah, like Derrick Henry, you know, all these types of guys, I feel like, can they continue to ball out? Yeah, of course. But, you know, I'd rather just kind of trade down to one of the ones in the 2020 class who I really like, and then get another fire, like a, you know, another second and a late first fire on one of the wide receivers in the class.
So if you could maybe, if you have Derrick Henry, you could maybe say Swift in a first, would you do that?
I would take Swift over Henry 1-1. So if someone gave me a first on top, really? I would take that pick so fast. Yeah.
What about Dobbins?
Yeah, same thing. I would smash that. Okay. All those. And any of the 2020 running backs plus a first for Derrick Henry, I would get an auto accept.
Sven, what do you think about that? Because I feel like people who have Derrick Henry are going to think that that's not enough for him.
I mean, especially like J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, it's their team. Like, they are the bell cow now, and they're turning into Derrick Henry. So getting that and then potentially getting another first, another top scorer, I mean, then you kind of like you fill in those gaps for like getting rid of Derrick Henry. But it's crazy, but I agree with you, Mike, on that. The J.K. Dobbins and DeAndre Swift, maybe, but J.K. and Jonathan Taylor, I would wholeheartedly hit smash on that.
You would not get Jonathan Taylor for me if you offered me Derrick Henry plus a first. There's no chance.
I pulled off a trade for Jonathan Taylor in I think it was early November or late October. It was during that stretch when he was doing pretty poor.
Yeah.
I sent, and this was when the Rams had nobody but Malcolm Brown. I sent DJ Moore, Malcolm Brown, and a first for Jonathan Taylor and a third. Some people, you way overpaid for him because he wasn't playing well, but turned out pretty nicely.
Yeah, I have a lot of Jonathan Taylor. I think like after CMC, it's like him and Barkley.
Yeah, if we here in Fantasy Pros for the Dynasty rankings going into this season, there are analysts. You can see him on here if you look for him, who have ranked Jonathan Taylor number one over Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, there's a case to be made for that.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, next wide receiver we have here is Juju Smith-Schuster. So he's currently ranked as the wide receiver 26. What do you think about if you had to make the call, not knowing where they're going to be, Sven, Will Fuller or Juju for this year?
Give me Will Fuller.
Over the TikTok twin, huh?
I don't know. Juju, Will Fuller, he performs. Like Mike said before, I mean, he's electric. Like, he's good. He's a solid wide receiver. When he's on the field, he plays well. Juju, he's been on the field for a long time, more than Will Fuller right now, it seems like. And I don't know, I go Will Fuller.
I mean, this is what, only Juju's third season, right?
Four.
This was his fourth.
Yeah, it might be his fourth, I think.
His rookie year was a decent year, and then he blew up, and then he had like a down year because of injuries, and this was his fourth.
No, this will be his fourth, right? Oh, no, I'm looking at advanced receiving.
This was his fourth. Yeah. Now will be his fifth, because that's why his contract's up.
Yep, that makes perfect sense. So would you take Fuller as well over Juju?
No, I'd take Juju. I think Juju's undervalued. I think, 20, what is he, wide receiver 26? Like, the fact that he's going after Chris Carson makes no sense. Like, that's seems like a very, very easy smash for me. Like, Juju going after Chris Carson. Juju's at pick, 69? Chris Carson is 67. They should be, like, two rounds apart the other way. So I'm absolutely buying in on Juju Smith-Schuster. There's definitely some question marks, right, because we saw that he can't be the alpha. But I think also NFL teams saw that too. So whoever signs him likely is not going to expect him to be, like, the guy. Like, I would love to see him go to, like, I don't know, Green Bay Packers and just be the second fiddle to Devonta Adams. That'd be fantastic. If he went to...
God, they'd never lose a game.
Yeah, if he went to, I don't know, the Cardinals, right? And go play along DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he could be a fantasy wide receiver one without being a real life wide receiver one. And, age adjusted wise, like, his production early on was, pretty much unmatched. And has he been disappointing? Absolutely. But doesn't mean he's a wide receiver three now.
Well, because he finished as a wide receiver one his second year when Antonio Brown was the lead dog, right?
Yep.
He came in, 111 for 14, 26, and 7. That's a pretty great season for a second-year wide receiver. You're absolutely right. If he goes somewhere where there's a clear alpha, he's going to be great. And I think that's going to happen. I agree. I would take Juju over the Carson Drake Connor that we were having earlier. What about Corey Davis? So he's as the wide receiver 45 right now. Had a really good stretch this season. Corey Davis, I think we can agree Will Fuller and Juju definitely deserve to be taken over Corey Davis. But wide receiver 45, I kind of feel like that's a little bit too high.
I don't mind it. I mean, it's always tough to, like, go off, like, wide receiver 45 rankings. I try to think of it more of, like, what would people, like, pay? What would I pay for him, like, in rookie picks? Like, would it be a second? Would it be a third? I think, Will Fuller's, I mean, sorry, Corey Davis, same story as Juju Smith-Schuster, right? I mean, this is someone that was highly touted prospect, is a good player, but is not suited to be the wide receiver one. Like, he cannot handle, you know, the top cornerback of the opposing offense. We saw that, like, as you know, when he first last year, at the beginning of last year, he was still struggling, and then AJ Brown took over. And then once AJ Brown took over this year for real as the true alpha, Corey Davis shined again because he can't handle that wide receiver one role. So similar to Juju, I want to see him land in a place with the established alpha, like, again, Green Bay Packers. That'd be great. You know, all these guys that have a top wide receiver already, like maybe even Buffalo, right, to play alongside Stephon Diggs. I think that'd be interesting. But if he lands in a spot like the Jets, where it's like, hey, you got to step up and be the guy, like, I'm not interested.
Once again, it's we default to the Jets for the bad team.
Always the Jets.
Well, if we look at the rankings on Fantasy Pros, which I know these are February 2nd rankings, so they don't mean a whole lot at this point. This is more for the people who are doing Dynasty startups already. Guys going behind him, I would take Michael Pittman over Corey Davis. I'd take Robbie Anderson, Mike Williams, Sterling Shepard, John Brown. He's a little bit older. I would take John Brown over Corey Davis. Just a bunch of guys that I would still rather have. I'd take Alan Lazard over Corey Davis. So I feel like being at wide receiver 45 is just still a little bit too high. Sven, what do you think?
I don't know. I think I just don't like Corey Davis.
So what about Tim Patrick or Corey Davis?
Ooh, Tim Patrick. Probably Tim Patrick.
Nelson Agholor.
Corey Davis.
You know, Nelson Agholor had the second highest yards per reception this season.
I know. He performed well, but that his little antics at the end of the season kind of threw me off when he ran into the locker room and said, "We all suck. You guys all suck." Like,
yeah.
What? Like, who are you, bro?
Let's see. What about Scotty Miller or Corey Davis?
Scotty Miller. It depends if Chris Godwin, but that's the thing. We don't know right now. Maybe Scotty Miller, but if Godwin leaves in Tampa and like Tom is still there, then I don't know. I like Scotty Miller.
And that's the thing. We don't know.
Exactly. So the whole point of the show.
What about AJ Green?
Corey Davis.
Ooh, I would take Green over Davis. What do you think, Mike?
I would take Corey Davis over like all those guys you just named.
Okay. All right. So you value him a little bit more. Let's talk about a couple quarterbacks here. Jameis Winston, the QB 30. I think Winston is going to start this year. I don't know why, you know, the Saints signed him to a one-year deal knowing that they weren't going to be able to pay him a starter salary when he's good enough to start. So I don't see him coming back to New Orleans. Honestly, I would absolutely love him on the Colts. They have the cap space. I think it would be a great fit. Someone who, once again, just airs it out. And I think the Colts need a guy like that because Phillip Rivers couldn't do that. You know, well, his arm strength couldn't do that anyway. But I think Jameis Winston's going to be a starter. I think he deserves to be ranked higher than 30. Where you at on him?
I like Jameis. I like Jameis last year because he was so cheap. So I acquired a lot of Jameis. I'm just waiting now to see, you know, where he goes so I can flip him. I think Colts would be a decent spot. But I think they signed him because they didn't know if Taysom Hill could play quarterback, right? That's why they wanted a backup for Drew Brees. So that's why they signed him. And he's like, you know, he's a capable guy. So, you know, I'm interested in Jameis because he's cheap, to be honest with you. Like, do I think he's the best NFL quarterback? Do I think he's a good NFL quarterback? No, I think he's probably like below average, but you know, I like to buy those instances where players are super cheap. And I think there's like an event on the horizon that can just make me flip them. So Jameis Winston kind of falls in that category. Now, the problem with the Colts though, is like, they don't have that many weapons, right? They have, you know, Michael Pittman and, you know, Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton, who's a little bit old on the older side.
Allie Cox.
Yeah. Yeah. And big Mo. So I think, and then they're obviously going to, like, you know, Frank Reich's going to probably rely on the run a lot more. So you're not really going to get like YOLO Jameis. You know, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see where he lands. I agree with you though. I'm not sure if he lands, stays on New Orleans. If he does, then, you know, that'd be interesting too, because that'd be good for Michael Thomas and good for Kamara. Because, you know, we need to be saved from Taysom Hill led New Orleans Saints just for Kamara's sake.
So suppose, you know, obviously we don't know where he's going. You're on the clock, let's say tomorrow morning, you know, your time is up and you're looking at Jameis Winston versus Sam Darnold.
I'm taking Jameis Winston.
Sven, what about you?
Jameis.
What about Jameis or Daniel Jones?
I'd probably take Daniel Jones because he's got a little bit more job security. He's got the Konami code there. Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't like it, but I'll probably take Daniel Jones.
I don't know. I would still maybe take Jameis because if he starts, but Daniel Jones, I like the security thing that you said though.
Carson Wentz.
Probably Carson, just because like there's so many people out there that actually still think he's going to turn around. So, you know, if they sign someone or if he gets a start, I think you'll be able to flip him for a little bit more. But this is like the zone of quarterbacks. Like, I don't really like playing in, to be honest. Like, I'll just get like the couple mid-tier guys that have drop security or like a couple elite guys. I don't really mess around with this group of quarterbacks. I don't like any of them can just lose their job at any given moment.
So you're more of like a grab Baker and Cousins or something like that. The middle guys that you know are going to start.
I'm more of like a grab Tannehill in every draft and then maybe like backfill with a Cousins and then and then I'm going to like grab one of the rookies.
Cam Newton, QB 31. Is he going to start next year?
Who the hell knows, man? I have no idea. I'm a Patriots fan, so it was painful to watch. Like,
oh man,
when he took the after he was like good, and then like after that COVID break, it was bad. So I don't know if it's like COVID hits like athletes all differently, right? Like we know Von Miller like couldn't even play after he got hit with COVID. So I don't know if it was like a COVID thing or whatnot, but it just didn't look that great. But the first half of the season, he looked fine. But yeah, I do think he's gonna get signed somewhere though, right? Because like Cam is still a decent enough quarterback. I mean, he's better than Sam Darnold. Right, he's better than like a lot of these shitty young quarterbacks. So I hope he gets a chance.
I mean, better than certainly better than Darnold, better than Drew Locke. I think he's still better than Daniel Jones.
It pains me to watch him play.
It pains him to watch him play.
He needs to retire. I think just hang it up.
How old is he? He's only 31, 32. He's the same age as Russ.
He like can't throw the ball though. Like he pushes it.
I don't know, man. He was fine for the first half. I don't know what happened after the COVID break. COVID. But it was like a totally different player. So let's see what happens next year when he comes back in his training camp. I still think he has some gas left in the tank. Is he like prime Cam anymore? No, probably not. But I think he's still a starting quarterback.
Cam Newton or Jameis Winston?
That's a tough one. You know, this is one where I battled like a lot with last year when they were both like free agents. I was picking up both of them in like the early double digit round Superflex. I felt like it was an easy flip. I think right now though, I preferred Jameis because he was a bit younger. I think that's why I took him. And you know, he's someone that can like go out there and throw for like 5,000 yards. So I would still take Jameis now, I think.
And the last player I want to talk about while we wrap up here, I had to throw one of my Colts in there. T.Y. Hilton. You know, he is a little bit older. Is he 31 now?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Let me see. T.Y. Hilton, age 31. Yep, he'll be 32 in November. So age 32 season, wide receiver 59. I mean, I know you don't want old wide receivers in Dynasty, but I'm biased towards T.Y. Hilton, so I'm going to kind of pull myself away from this. What do you think about Hilton? Someone that you're targeting because you can get him late, or are you avoiding him altogether?
No, I'm not really targeting him. I think it would be interesting if Jameis went there. You know, look, if we see what Jameis did. But like the thing is, like, Jameis isn't even good at deep balls. He's so inaccurate. That's why like it doesn't even like match up well. But like he would get a lot of targets. I don't know how good they'd be. I'm not that interested. I mean, I don't know who's going to be there. And like, you know, I don't care about volatility when it comes to wide receivers personally, but like when it comes to Hilton, it's just like he's like just not startable like in like 10 out of 16, like 12 out of 16 games probably. So it's like a tough sell. And he's like always struggling with injuries. So I don't think I'm targeting him, but like it always depends on the price, right? You know, if someone gives me him for like, you know, like a third round, like a late third round pick, then yeah, I'll take a swing on him because he's produced before, but I'm not really targeting him or going after him in any way.
What about Hilton or AJ Green?
Man, like neither. These are guys that I have 0% of these guys on my teams.
Same.
All right, well, I won't continue on then if the answer is going to be neither. Guys, that is going to wrap it up. Like I said, we just really wanted to talk about some of these free agents and how we view them versus where the extra consensus ranking currently has them as of February 2nd. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Why don't you tell everybody where they can follow you, find you, and support you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys can find me at Mike Me Up with 2 P's on Twitter. So hit me up. I'm usually engaging with everyone there. Doesn't matter how many followers you have. I'll just like shoot the shit with you if you want to talk some ball. And then for YouTube, we're pumping out a bunch of content. My co-host at FB God on Twitter and myself. It's called Bunk Bed Breakdowns at Bunk_Bed on Twitter. So we put out like pretty much a video every day. And you know, we're covering mostly dynasty stuff, but we're also covering like NBA Top Shots because both of us are pretty heavy in that game now. So if you guys are interested, head on over and, you know, subscribe and see if you like the content.
Hell yeah. And you can follow us on Twitter at Sleepwire Show. Sven is on there at Fantasy Sven. And then I'm on there at Prof underscore Chris SW and on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris as well. Mike, Sven, thank you so much for joining me again. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.